morning. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. However you want to say it, it's Christmas today. Joining us this morning is Deacon Dance Farrell.
Deacon indeed.
Deacon, yeah. Well, you what, a year and a half?
It's been 2.5 years.
Two and a half. Okay, so I can't add that.
So I'm still a baby deacon.
Yeah. Oh, good morning and Merry Christmas to you, sir.
And Merry Christmas to you as well.
All right. Or why do they say that? We didn't really have anything that we could get too particularly close to Christmas or Christmas terms that both of us already didn't know. So we're going to do something else. Chicken a la King.
Chicken a la King.
Chicken a la King.
I have no idea.
What king is chicken a la King named for?
Ooh. It's because it's a food, I'm gonna go for one of the Louis.
Ah, wrong. Nice try. King Edward VII of England, who was supposed to have ordered the dish prepared according to his own recipe.
How about that? So this is what's his
chicken,
recipe.
Chicken a la King, yeah.
So next time I'll think King Edward.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What do you find most surprising about Christmas?
Oh, Christmas is a surprise every year. I think what always has me most surprised about Christmas is not actually something new, like a new surprise, but the fact that year after year, every time we celebrate it, it seems to recall all of my past. It's almost as if, one of the ways I talk about it is as being a time machine. You know, the carols start playing and instantly I remember being a kid and throwing snowballs in the backyard. There's something about the joy and the light and the colors that set this time apart and unite them all together almost with a glue that you just can't ever let go of.
When you talk to your buddies who are not of the Catholic faith, they're not even Christian.
Mm-hmm.
How do you describe Christmas?
Well, you know, honestly, Christmas is the easiest thing to describe at all because oddly, everybody gets it. There's so much education built into all of those Christmas carols they've heard all of these years. And so many people are already familiar with the fundamental story of Christmas, that there's something special about this child being born sometime long ago. And they can't help but get the sense and the feeling that there's something special about this time. This is made so much easier in our own American culture because we have celebrated Christmas from time immemorial.
That's what I was saying with some of the international students that are at St. Bernard's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with some of the, I mean, Hindi and folks that may not be familiar at all.
That is a much different
Christmas
challenge.
How do you kind of start to broach that one?
Whew, you know, because there's no real frame of reference for dealing when I deal with the international population, it is a lot more challenging. And you really have to go to the very basics of the story. And that is, what's going on here? Let's just take a look.
Almost like a historical.
You got to start with the history, the thing, and then start to talk about what that means. And then hopefully at some point you can say why this has such special meaning for us as a Christian people.
Now I know lots of folks are saying, okay, the three wise men, where did they come from? Mm-hmm. What happened to them afterwards? What happened to Joseph? You know, a lot of the main character references are there and then they're gone. Are there any historical references later on to a lot of these characters that are not continuing to be in the primary Jesus story?
You know, there are actually. The trouble is that these references aren't scriptural. And for a lot of people, they really like to know things directly from scripture, and taking things from ancillary sources are sometimes, some people find that problematic.
Oh, really? Rather than intriguing?
Right. To me, I find it intriguing. And we even know some of their names. Unfortunately, I can only remember two of them off the top of my head, Melchior and Caspar, and there's a third. And I believe that we think their skulls, their remains, are kept in a church in Scotland, of all places. It was brought back by the Knights Templar. Now, whether or not that is true or not is, to me, entirely irrelevant. More than that, our hearts long to fill in the details of this story. Like, we want to know everything. We want to know what happened on the flight to Egypt. We want to know, the number of how many children lost their lives to Herod. We want to know every little bit. But then again, at the same time, I think in our heart of hearts, we also love the mystery.
If you knew everything,
there's some beautiful mystery about, Santa Claus and St. Nicholas and all that entails, and that we have an adult mystery as well of not knowing every detail. And a good example of that is we look at the story of Christmas and we imagine the star and we have the shepherds, we have angels, we have the magi. But all of these things aren't actually held in any one of the Gospels. We have pieces of the story from each, and we've kind of strung them all together to create the narrative simply because we have that desire to fill in all of those stories.
Or the concept, I would suppose, even of manger.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way we define it today. It's not like a stable.
Right. We think of manger and manger to me is the most beautiful symbol that Christmas has to offer. Here we have in Bethlehem, This is the house of bread. That's what it means, right? We have the child laid in a manger, a feeding trough, I think is the better word, right? A feeding trough, truly come to be the bread of life for us. The whole thing, I'm not saying in any way that I doubt the authenticity of those actual events, but every real actual event points us to some true knowledge of who Christ is.
Something else.
Something else, something outside, something beyond.
It's 8:19.
It's sounding like Christmas all over Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. It's all your favorite Christmas music all the time. Christmas music is yours 24 hours a day on 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM. Bing, The Carpenters, America, and more contemporary singers like Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers, Michael Bublé, and others. It's our kind of Christmas music on Easy Radio 980 AM and Curry 105.3 FM, the Christmas station. Tell your friends.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. Merry Christmas, everybody. Deacon Dan Sparrow from, are you from St. Bernard's, or are you from Sacred Heart, or are you from, yes?
You know, I am from the Diocese of Santa Rosa, and at the end of the day, I'm wherever the bishop puts me.
Yeah, that's...
And he's put me in both parishes.
that way we can keep an eye on you.
Well, I got lots of eyes.
In looking at the Christmas story itself, you had mentioned in the first segment about the star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that is able to be measured. It's a black and white that kind of has been, I guess, authenticated. It might sound a little bit too formal, but it's something a lot of people, there's agreement on that.
Sure.
The kings themselves and where they came from. Is there uniform thought about that also?
You know, I can't speak to the historical persons because we simply know so little. But I can tell you that they represent the world. I mean, they realize that Israel is at the center of what was at the time the known world. So for them, they had Asia, Africa, and Europe, all three major continents converging on this one place. And so there's this idea that the kings are coming from these different regions, representing the whole world coming to see the Christ child.
You ever wonder if they had a camera?
I wish they did.
Well, I mean, those types of things, you know, what did these figures, these historical as well as religious figures, what do they sound like? Those types of things are always intriguing, I think, for somebody like me who's as intrigued by the historical as by the religious.
I think that's one of the reasons why I love our modern times so much, is that we can in some way fill in those gaps. We have so many wonderful films and books that can kind of round out those things for our imagination, if not for history, that can bring our own hearts into the story in a deeper way. I mean, that's one of, I think, the great beauties of art, especially here at Christmas time, is that it helps us to really, truly enter into this moment. Our hearts really burn for those kinds of details. We want to be able to smell the stable. We want to be able to feel the wind on our cheeks as the shepherds rise the hill to see the child. And there's a wonderful film. The Nativity Story. That's what it was called. And it does exactly that. I love watching this every year because I get to hear the king's voices, and they have personality, and they might not be their real. It doesn't matter, because to me, it points to that true story.
Yeah, it's a fellow who was deacon in the church.
Mm-hmm.
As I need for me to be able to process certain things, chronological.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I hadn't realized this was the time of Cicero. This was the time of Plato, that Caesar. Mm-hmm. A lot of these characters that were historical figures were, I mean, it's all kind of in the same time frame. Instead of this
right.
separation, Pontius Pilate to me is an intriguing character. I know he kind of he didn't end up well.
No, he didn't.
But what was life like then?
I agree that those little details, those silent moments. How do they get water? Right? They're in the stable. Well, where'd all the animals go? Are they in their stable with them? All of these details make a huge deal, but also not just those, but the larger ones. We have, for example, we have Herod, who's king, and we know a lot about Herod. We know that he was from a part of Judea, yes, but he was part of from a Judea that was not really Jewish. And so he was not a beloved king. And so you could see almost this tension in the story as you're dealing with his tension of, am I the rightful king? And do I really belong here? How do I protect my throne? At the same time, you know that the Caesar has taken over this area. And so he's scared of the other king who has some real authority over him. Jesus entered into a world of international politics. Right from the start, from day one, he's battling the powers that be as a baby.
And probably just as bloody as anything we can think of now. They just weren't involving bombs and tanks and
things
like that.
The bloody was more personal.
Yeah, it was eyeball to eyeball.
When Herod sent in the army to slaughter the innocent children because Jesus was born there, these are mothers that literally watched their children be butchered in front of them. The horror of that moment, the horror of much that they had to deal with in this time, is something that we don't even have a frame of reference for.
The concept of crucifixion, which wasn't just for Jesus.
No, not at all.
I mean, that was something that was kind of a pretty much a calling card there for the neighborhood whenever somebody won.
And you mentioned crucifixion, and I think that's one of the things we often miss at Christmas, is that this child is the only child in history ever born to die. Every single other person is born to live. We're all born to live out our lives, to experience the joy and family and life and all those things that we celebrate with such happiness at Christmas. But this child, there's a dark sense. We were talking about the kings earlier, and I wanted to mention one of the king's gifts, myrrh. You see, we have gold. Gold's fit for a king. We have frankincense, the gift of incense for the priesthood. But myrrh is the gift that you anoint a dead body with. I wonder what the king must have felt like as he gave his child myrrh, the balm that they would wipe over his corpse.
How about mom and dad receiving it?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the seriousness of this moment?
Yeah.
I mean, These kind of deep symbolisms are the very thing that Christmas is so rich with.
Do we take enough time to appreciate that?
Oh, I don't think we can. But I mean, through the centuries, we slowly learn more and more, when we open our hearts more and more to those mysteries.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Catholic Deacon Dance Farrell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Dance, Christmas has become secularized for some.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly religious for many. Mm-hmm. There's a combination of both. Does one take away the commercialism, I guess, is kind of the umbrella that people put at.
Yeah.
Does that take away or does it enhance?
You know, I've wondered that so much in my own thoughts, my own heart, prayerfully trying to say, you know, okay, so where do I personally draw the line on how much is too much when it comes to the commercialization of Christmas?
Well, you probably throw in food too.
Oh gosh,
you know,
food,
feast
all of it
component of it.
Oh
well.
Yeah, I mean, and you think about all of the people who are struggling, working around trying to get presents for every person under their list, which is a long list in our age. So many people we're connected to, so many people feel slighted if you forget. You know, I think at the end of the day, it can't help but be a good thing. Here's what I mean. At this time of Christmas is the one time of year where somehow everybody seems to put a lot of the PC stuff back on the table and really take a look at what it is that Christ is calling us to. Don't get me wrong. I know there's a great movement to kind of reduce that, but to some degree you can't. The simple, you know, we talked earlier in the show about Christmas being a time machine, and all of the hymns, all of those beautiful songs, those Silent Night, the Away in a Manger, they can't be removed from our holiday lexicon. And at the end of the day, those very commercialized things are what keep Christmas in the forefront for so many people.
Yeah, it's almost like it gives you the opportunity to discover if you haven't already discovered the ultimate.
It's a wonderful time. And not only that, but because it's a time of family, because it's a time when people have off, it's a time for reflection. It's a time for me to look at my life and say, you know, this year's been crazy. This year's been busy. And I feel like I'm missing the important things. And Christmas reminds us of what those important things are.
Now, Advent, for those who are unfamiliar with that season, what is it?
Well, Advent, traditionally, this time before Christmas is actually a penitential season, a time of preparation, of getting ready for the Christ child. Now, in our modern society, we have a tendency, and this is kind of a funny thing if you think about it, to celebrate Christmas before Christmas. I mean, Christmas is still weeks off, and the tree is up, and the lights are up, and the house smells like evergreens. And traditionally, throughout the world, we would actually not do any of that until Christmas Day. And those times before Christmas was meant to be a time when we would be introspective, when we would look at our lives and say, how have I prepared? How am I ordering my life towards Christ coming into the world?
More of a somber time.
More of a somber and quiet time. And we've kind of turned that on its head. But to some degree, I don't think we could put that cat back in the bag. And so I've always encouraged people to kind of do both, to celebrate out there, to reach out and say Merry Christmas, to hum Silent Night as you're walking the halls, but at the same time, to in your own heart, to be preparing for Christ. In our house, for example, we actually put up our Christmas tree last week on the 18th. We do it just a little bit before a week before Christmas so that Christmas is still new for us when Christmas Day actually comes around.
Yeah, we did, I think, on the 15th, 14th, somewhere.
Yeah.
It, you know, that was more of a time issue with the Truckers Parade.
Well, it could be that, too. It could be that, too.
That 12 days of Christmas.
12 days of Christmas.
Now, is that leading up to Christmas?
No. No, it's the days after Christmas. And it's actually the 12 days of Christmas, you might know the song, was actually a song written in England to help catechize or teach the children who were currently under persecution. So they were called to remember these 12 days, this special time, in a culture that was doing exactly what we're doing now, which was celebrating Christmas.
The Anglican early. Church?
This was the Anglican Church, correct. And so each one of those different days actually stood for something important that children were supposed to learn and know in this time.
So it wasn't Piper's Piping.
It wasn't Piper's. I wish I knew what they all were. We'd be able to do that. But I know that the partridge in a pear tree is Christ himself, because the partridge will actually hurt itself to feed its young if needed, and just as Christ himself did the same for us.
So the 12 Days of Christmas, the song came from Catholic?
Oh, it's a very Catholic song.
Against?
I wouldn't say against as much as trying to safeguard their faith in an antagonistic situation.
Because certainly there was a lot of persecution that was going on.
Oh, yes. Most of it coming directly from the king. So, you know, when you have the authority moving really hard against you, that you have to find means and ways of protecting that which is most sacred to you.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. Merry Christmas, everybody. Getting ready to attack what needs to be attacked and to relax what needs to be relaxed.
Well, hopefully more relaxing than attacking today.
You haven't seen too many four-year-olds lately, have you?
Fair enough.
Oh, there's a lot of stories associated with Christmas that are after Christ's presence on the earth, whether it's Martin Luther.
Sure.
Some of the songs that have been written over the years. Which of those, let's say post the year 1000, strikes you? And you can't use 12 Days of Christmas because we already talked about that one.
You know, for me, I would have to say that great German hymn, Silent Night, Holy Night. There's something so... I love it because it's almost ethereal in quality. It has this almost smoky nature that fills around you. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And here on Christmas Day is really the first moment of calm we've had all Christmas. Now that all the things are done and all that's left is to make the dinner, we can actually reflect on the quiet, on the silence of this beautiful moment.
Yeah, Silent Night is cool. I can see the guy walking through the woods,
yeah.
You know, in the Black Forest. But O Tannenbaum.
O Tannenbaum.
To me now, but in German.
Mm-hmm.
Not O Christmas Tree.
It's not the same.
O Tannenbaum.
It's not the same in English.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it just. I mean, you know, I know disparaging remarks about the German language.
Oh,
is
I love
easy.
The German language. It's beautiful.
You got to wear a weather jacket, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But there's something about O Tannenbaum. That's one of the, even on the silly cell phone, I've got that in there.
Okay, well, I'm going to embarrass myself a little. The last 1,000 years, I'm going to come a lot more recent.
Okay.
I've always loved that song by the Andrews Sisters. Have you ever spent Christmas on
Christmas Island? Yeah.
I don't know. There's that whole theme in the 30s and 40s of tropical Christmas, and I don't know that for some
breaking
reason
out of the depression, I think is
definitely
it's like
part
Fiesta
of it.
Wear. Make everything bright.
Yep. Somehow, I know it's not a very religious one, but I just it makes me smile every time.
I guess for the contemporary Mary's Boy Child.
Mary's Boy Child. I don't think I know
that. But sung by not Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, but by Boney M. It's reggae.
Oh, wow.
It's like a 7.5
really?
Minute. Oh, yeah. I still think it's one of the more requested songs It's kind of upbeat. It has a little bit of something to it. It's certainly not one of the traditional ones, you know, sure. Oh, come all ye faithful. And,
right,
you know,
right.
Those that are.
There's another one of those that I it's the Mary, Did You Know? Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one
well,
day
walk
me,
on water? That's the one that Rodgers and Pardon did.
I've yeah. never liked that song.
Really?
I love this tune. I think it's beautiful. But Mary was visited by an angel. I think she might have had a clue.
Yeah, hopefully.
I think she might have known something was going on.
Something was up, yeah.
So my theological muscles flex every time I hear it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more of the projection out of what was to happen.
Well, there is such yeah. there is a beauty to it, and it actually is such a haunting melody that I find it gets stuck in my head.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's part of it. Also, is you know we're talking about the sounds and the songs. There's mm-hmm. there's something about that too with the religious ceremonies.
Oh, you know, yes,
certainly with Mass. There's a lot of that, and I'm sure a lot of the other
and so,
faiths
and,
also have.
Oh, yes.
Audio triggers
the
that
sounds
just make
and,
part of
and
it.
The smells too.
Yeah.
The smells of Christmas. The and there's that. There's something about. I think it's some part of it has to do with when Christmas is placed. Christmas placed here in the dead of the darkest days of the year. You know, just a few days ago we had the solstice, and here we are now at Christmas. And there's something in us that wants to hole up physically. That also makes us hole up spiritually. That says, you know, I need to connect to my roots. I need to connect with all those things which I know are good and beautiful and holy.
Which would really be weird if we were in Argentina.
Very. Very.
Now it's in the middle of summertime.
It's very different.
Talk to some of my buddies in New Zealand and in Australia. Mm-hmm. And their Christmas is a little bit different.
Shrimp every year?
Yeah. good stuff. Hey, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
And once more, Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you as well.
See everybody tomorrow.